This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Boys, put down your utensils. I want to talk to you about something real quick. If there's anything that you want to talk about, any kind of secrets, now's the time to put it on the table, okay? And if you tell me, we're not going to be mad.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
I went to the petting zoo and I let the goat lick my
butt.
No, honey. Promise you wouldn't get mad, okay? You're being honest.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
One time I put a firefly on my butt.
Why?
To make my farts glow.
Oh, God.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
I touched myself to Drew Carey on the bus, right?
God. Okay, that's enough. Stop, please.
The Fan.
Let me tell you what I want to do.
Let's do this. Final hour. Dirt and Sprague on a Wednesday. Thanks for being with us on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. If you were a stand-up comedian, would you do a show from your couch? No. Mm. I feel very bad for late-night hosts and stand-up comedians right now.
I don't.
Well, no, I'm sure. That's too strong of a
they'll
word.
They'll survive the situation.
They'll be fine. No, I feel bad in terms of the work aspect of it because I don't know if there's anything more awkward than trying to tell jokes and be funny with no laughs.
Yeah, I'll give this to you.
Like, that's brutal, dude. You're trying to, like, deliver a punchline on a late-night TV show, and it's like, and then he walked in the door.
I can't watch.
And then you just move on to the next thing? Like, it's just awkward.
I can't suspend the idea of, hey, there's nobody there. It's just them in a room with a camera. Like, I don't really particularly catch the show, but I'll see, like, highlights tweeted out. Why is Cuomo still doing a show? He's in a freaking basement with coronavirus.
He has the virus. I know he's doing it in his basement.
I'm like, bro, I don't think you should be doing a show right now, but sure, fight on and do what you want to do.
He's an intense dude. Let's get after it.
Yeah, he's already intense enough. Right now he's in a basement, and I don't know how late night people are doing this.
That's one I will say, probably everybody doesn't watch it, but I do. I love John Oliver at the end of the weekend. It's a good, it's a great Sunday night show, but the first one that he had to do was really awkward and uncomfortable.
I couldn't watch after.
It was like the last 2 weeks he's found a much better groove of still being funny, but not like punchlines with no laughs kind of thing. So you're kind of chuckling at home. He found kind of a better groove with it. The first one, it was weird to me.
Yeah.
It was just really weird. But the last 2 weeks, I think, have been a lot better. Somebody said, I feel bad for local musicians. Yeah,
yes,
that's true.
Yeah. Absolutely.
No,
but musicians
no right
have
now.
Been really cool and kind during this. Like, a lot of the videos I've seen of different musicians. I've seen orchestras, musicians. They get on and they record, or they go live and they give their fans a bit of a show, a bit of a 10 to 12 minute escape. And I think musicians that are doing that, there's a lot of value in that.
Yeah.
It helps people. Yeah, it makes you feel normal.
Yeah. How about Kevin Harlan in the Monday Night Football booth?
I would love it.
Well,
this is what I'm talking about.
He does
about.
The radio for
Westwood One, right?
Yeah.
He's on the, him and Kurt Warner, a great booth from Monday Night Football.
But, I mean, I've said I think he's the best going right now. But
does he have a one-way TV contract? I feel like he's all over the map.
Well, he's
Turner,
CBS
Westwood.
Turner.
Yeah.
So
CBS
he
Turner,
does, because okay. he does NCAA tournament stuff. He does, he'll do a Sunday NFL game for CBS, then go do the Monday night game on Westwood One.
Yeah.
Plus, he has TNT. I don't know that he'd want to give all that up if he had to go to ESPN.
I feel like CBS is hoarding all the good broadcasters. Smart. That, there's your issue with ESPN is where's your talent acquisition?
CBS is better.
Yeah. What's the Rolodex of play-by-play guys looking like? It's not as strong. Even one of their best ones I've always enjoyed, but I think he wanted a lesser role, was Dan Shulman. Now, he mainly did baseball. He might have done other stuff, but he was a Sunday night baseball guy for a long time.
Yeah.
Dan Shulman. But then he took a backseat.
I think if you work for ESPN, you will do a college basketball game at some point if you're a play-by-play guy. They have 800,000 broadcasts a season.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
If you had to replace John Miller, Dan Shulman was not a bad direction.
No, he was a great play-by-play guy.
Because I still miss the John Miller, Joe Morgan broadcast. Yeah, but yeah. Shulman, I mean, it wasn't like I stepped into it being so pro-John Miller that I was going to hate whoever. I was open to it, and Shulman was good.
Yeah, a lot of different options out there. We'll see what they end up doing, but I think we can all agree, please no more Booger McFarland, although one listener did say, you got to keep Booger. He's the only guy that can point at two players with the same finger. Hey-oh. I quite enjoyed that. So we're all looking for, I don't know how desperately we all are looking for sports things to watch, but I do. It's one of my things. I'll get home every day, and I mean, not right now because the weather's so nice. So I'll be outside, like, washing the truck today and, you know, doing stuff around the yard. But when you do eventually get inside and you're kind of sitting down, I will kind of scroll across sports channels just to see what classic games they're showing. Like yesterday, they threw a bunch of Al Kaline moments up on the MLB Network, like the 1968 World Series.
68 World Series games,
yeah. Kind of fun to watch. You know, I just watch a little bit of those as I'm getting dinner ready and stuff. But one league is going to try an idea with current athletes. Does it interest you in any way, shape, or form to watch NBA players play virtual horse?
No.
Okay, you're out on that one?
In-person horse? No.
So if
I saw this already, and it sucked.
In-person or virtual, it doesn't.
The All-Star game.
So I shouldn't say virtual horse. They're going to play horse from different locations.
They'll be in their,
so they're actually shooting the shots. So yes. Virtual is not the right word. It's not video games, but.
Still no.
Still no on that one?
I rewatched Game 6 Boston Lakers when the Celtics won with Pierce Allen and Garnett.
When they blew them out in Boston?
I would rewatch that every time over watching any new horse game. I know I'm doing a sports radio show, so maybe I should fall into this category. And maybe I largely differ from most of our audience. I am not to the point where I'm so desperate I need to watch people play horse. I had sports in my life, and I still watched horse in 2009, 2010. It sucked. It's terrible. Is that going to entertain me? It wasn't good the first time when I was looking to be entertained.
Well, I remember.
Yeah, the answer is no.
If you go way, way back, so when it used to be the NBA on CBS, you got the Sunday National game before there was cable. They would pre-record before the season a whole bunch of horse competitions, and they would air them at halftime of the games. So it'd be like Dr. J against George Gervin or something like that. And they were pre-recorded and staged and edited. So, I mean, it got to the nitty gritty of it, but it was still odd. You're just in a gym by yourself. And I don't know what they're hoping to do.
I mean, they're just looking for programming is what they're looking for.
We're going to lie to ourselves and act like we're going to care and like this. No. This is not going to be good.
They're showing NBA players playing video games against each other. Like, that's what ESPN is. Like, they're desperate for programming.
Sure, but I'm not. Are you?
No, I'm saying that's why ESPN's putting this on. If there's a question out there of why would you even want to do this, they don't have anything else to air.
But that's not true. ESPN's been around since the 70s. Dude, you have so much content in your vault. I would much rather you just stick to the classic crap until I can get live actual. I don't need live horse. I don't need to see Chris Paul be in his mansion playing against Trae Young. All right, this is for O. And then shoot a three-pointer. I don't need to watch that. Well, right? Like, give me good live sports or wait and just replay old sports. Yeah, I'd much rather have that.
I have a question for you. And I was thinking about this, too, because they have a sports center in the morning and then they have SVP goes live for an hour and then they just rerun it over and over and over. Mm-hmm. Would you be interested to see, like, on this day? I mean, we see all this on this day in history sort of thing. But if you saw an old sports center from this day in 1983, or pick a day where there was something kind of significant happening.
I would rewatch that over horse.
I would too.
I would too.
Plus, you can get to see the old, Charlie Steiner and Kenny Mayne or whatever.
Olbermann back.
Olbermann and Patrick.
Stuart Scott again. Yep. All the old time.
So I don't know. I don't know
a
why
young Rich Eisen with hair
doesn't do that.
That's what I'm
that's
saying.
That's actually
is,
not a bad idea.
I think this idea, and look, we're all missing sports, right? But I don't fall into the camp that I need any live programming you can get me. I want good live programming. If you can't give that, that's fine. I get it. Give me the old school. Replay SportsCenter or replay how many blank games you have in your vault that you haven't busted out before.
See, and that's the interesting thing about ESPN is how much of that do they own the rights to?
SportsCenter's theirs.
Well, I'm talking about like
football. I'm saying classic games though, because they can't re-air like NFL games that weren't on their network.
But the Sunday Night Football used to be on ESPN. I'm sure they own all those games. They had Sunday Night. But you don't even have to give me an iconic moment. You can just replay almost anything, and I would rather watch that than this horse stuff.
Like, because they could do NBA Finals games, because or at least as of late, because NBA Finals have been on ABC for a long time. They did the Texas-USC game, I think, last week. That game was on ABC, a national championship.
That was great.
Yeah, but I remember reading something when this all started about classic programming, is that they don't have their rights catalog for actual live sporting events in terms of classic championships, that kind of stuff, isn't as deep as you would think.
But you can find moments that weren't championships that were
That's
still
true.
Great.
True. Pull up random games that are great regular season games and re-air them.
If WGN re-aired Kerry Wood's 20 strikeout game and I didn't want to find it on YouTube,
you can go back and watch that.
I'd rather watch that than the horse game.
MLB Network's already replayed that one.
Well, that's right. Yeah. Cross that off their list. Right. That was one of the first ones. Yeah, I'm curious to see where ESPN continues to go, because they're grasping. They're looking for programming. They're looking for anything.
Well, right now, they're lucking out because they get three days of Masters final round. So
that's going to help them, at least in the short term. I saw, and this is not shocking in any way, shape, or form, but for those wondering as well, somebody had it that their website traffic is down almost 50% in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, what are you clicking to go
for? What are you looking for?
Once things are canceled, you're not going to ESPN.com anymore. No. So I still go because I'm curious
it'll
to see their stories for the show.
But it'll pick up for the draft.
Yes, that is true. That is true. So ESPN, they got to get through the NFL draft. That almost be something.
Re-air a draft.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Would you re-air like the 1984? Or what was the year all the quarterbacks went? Was that 84?
83.
All the quarterbacks going early. That great draft.
Kelly and Marino being talked down.
30 for 30 on it. Just re-air that NFL draft. Yep. I'd probably go back and watch stuff like that.
I know ESPN and MLB Network and all these TV channels, I think some of them are doing a much better job than others. But like this listener is just doing exactly what I said. I think this is what a lot of people are doing. Watched NC Villanova on YouTube. If I want to watch any game, I don't even go to my YouTube TV as much. I just go to YouTube and I just type in the game. Every game is on YouTube.
Yeah.
You can find any game you want. You want to watch baseball? Great. Go do it. You want football? You want basketball? Golf? You can find anything on YouTube and replay it.
Yeah, that's when I watched the Miracle on Ice game when we first got into quarantine. I just went on YouTube, pulled it up on YouTube, man. Yeah, you can find anything. Somebody said, I can't believe no one's playing classic original NFL films. The NFL Network's airing a bunch of classic games and like classic Super Bowls and stuff, but I haven't seen some of that.
Found the networks, the sports networks are far and away better than what you got on ESPN or FS1. MLB Network, NBA TV, and NFL Network
games constantly.
Are giving you all the content you could want
And then they opened up the Red Zone channel this week. So each day is, so today's the third day they're doing it. So all the games on Red Zone from week three just on a loop.
Hell, even CBS Sports Network is replaying NCAA tournaments.
Yep.
right. Yeah, so they're playing horse on ESPN. If you're interested in that, it sounds like, I don't know, I didn't even look into all the details. It's going to be like a bracket, guys in their private gyms taking up shots and playing
some
a game
WNBA horse. Players, some old school players like the Reggie Millers of the world, and then Chris Paul, Trey Young.
It's like a one-on-one bracket kind of thing. Was I right in reading that?
I just saw who was going to be kind of
involved. I'm assuming so. They'll probably try and get 16 and milk it as long as they can.
You got to get that programming to carry you through for, two more weeks until the NFL draft starts ramping up, which is a whole other thing, and how it's going to be interesting and how they pull that off. So there you go. That's the latest out of the NBA. Let's get to Stat or Story, your favorite segment's favorite segment. That is next on The Fan.
Crunch the numbers.
There's 6,127 students at Adams, 58% of which are girls. So that's 7,107.32 boobs.
Break the news.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Is it a stat or a story?
Evidence based on olfactory prowess is inadmissible, in case you didn't know.
This is Stat or Story, a monumental judgment call with Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Come on, do math.
The Fan.
All right, we lost a legend in the music biz. We'll get to that coming up bottom of the hour. Also, a reboot of a television show. We got another one of those going down. Also, RIP to Linda Tripp. Just apparently passed away at the age of 70.
Hey, without she her, we don't find out about Slick Willie.
Did she have coronavirus or did she die of something else?
I don't know.
I think that every time now somebody passes away, as sad as that is, like an older person.
Well, yeah, you get to like the 70, 80 range. I'm kind of assuming.
Is that what brought him down?
Assuming.
Just being 70? So there you go. RIP Linda Tripp as well. Okay, Saturday story time. What do we got today?
Your first number is 6. 6. Is it the total number of birdies Jack Nicklaus made in the final round of the 1986 Masters when he came from 4 shots back at the beginning of the round to win his 6th green jacket? Or is it the width in meters of a British man's backyard he traversed over 7,000 times on his 32nd birthday to run the equivalent of a full marathon to raise money in the fight against coronavirus?
Can people not go run, like, map out a thing that doesn't leave you running back and forth in your balcony or your yard? Do you raise more money if you do it in the backyard?
I think some countries are just trying to keep... really limit if you have to leave your house at all.
Well, I feel like most places, though, are saying you could exercise is an essential thing.
Yeah, but I think in, like, in Europe,
maybe
they might
be
worried.
Maybe not a marathon, because that's, like, what, 6 hours?
It's a lot of ground you're covering. You might go to really heavily populated areas of people going out. Because in Portland, the weather, I just saw this in Oregon Live, people are starting to go to all these parks now. And it's
you can't go to a park.
We're not social distancing anymore.
Well, they have, they put park greeters out now.
Oh, did they really?
So there's official representatives of the Parks Bureau reminding people where you can and can't go and to keep it moving. They don't want anybody standing around and congregating. That's basically, if you're moving through on the paths, that sort of thing.
So 6 meters is about 19 and a half feet. For your conversion ratio there, I'm going to say that this is a story, and I'll say Jack had more than 6 birdies in an epic comeback because he's Jack Nicklaus.
I'll throw an eagle in there. I'll say, well, no, I'll go stat.
This is a story.
Damn it.
Sprigg is absolutely right. 7 birdies and an eagle.
Go.
Shot a 30 on the back nine. And came from 4 down to win his 6th green jacket.
When I die, my one request from God might be, can I watch Prime Jack Nicklaus and Prime Tiger?
Head-to-head.
Head-to-head.
Let's go.
Make it happen, big guy.
Augusta's already heaven to begin with.
And then the question is, so when you want to compare eras, that's one thing. But then it is, okay, would you rather see Tiger have to play with a persimmon wood?
Yeah.
Or would you like to see what Arnold and Jack could do with modern golf technology now in their prime?
I'd go modern. Yeah, modern golf technology for sure.
Yeah. This comes to us from the Huffington Post. Cheltenham, England. I got to, you know, there looks like it's 4 syllables, but it's actually 1. James Campbell, former professional javelin thrower, spent his 32nd birthday doing 6-meter shuttles in his small backyard. He got 10,000 retweets, raised over 18,000 pounds to help Britain's National Health Service running a simulated marathon that was completed in just over 5 hours. So neighbors kept poking their heads over. He had a fixed camera, so there was a Twitter feed of it the whole time.
God.
Have you gotten that board yet?
No, I will never get that board.
No.
I'm doing home workouts. I got that kind of thing figured out and dialed in a little bit. But no, to the point of running a marathon in my backyard, I could not do that.
I'd rather lose all of the... I'd rather gain 25 pounds back
right,
and get severely out of shape than run a marathon between 20 feet. I'll wait it out
awful.
A couple months, and we'll just have that journey back to losing weight again.
God, you would go insane, wouldn't you? Like, after a while, it just would be... Yeah, no thank you.
Your next number is 15. 15. Is it the number of foreign-born golfers who have won the Masters? Or is it the percentage increase in liquor sales the OLCC is predicting to record in March of 2020 compared to a year ago?
Stat. I feel like it's... No, as I'm already up to a bad start on this. I feel like it has to be more than 15. I mean, the Masters has been around forever.
Do it. Do it.
I think all the European players...
Just do it.
Yeah, I'm gonna go story. I'd say it's more than 15.
Stat.
Damn it.
15 foreign-born golfers have won the Masters. Now they've won it a combined 22 times.
Were you good at multiple choice questions?
No, I was terrible. Terrible at it. Yes,
Nick Faldo won it three times. Gary Player won it three times. Seve Ballesteros and Bernhard Langer each won it twice.
Hey, Seve's winning right now. Don't tell me how it ends.
So 15 foreign-born golfers have won the Masters.
Why do all these dudes, they never rocked hats, and now they rock hats? Is that just about sponsorship
stuff?
I think
it's about sponsorships.
Old golf attire is a whole other conversation.
Plus, I mean, look at that head of hair Nick Price has.
It's great good hair. Head of hair.
You
good
got,
head of hair.
And you got Greg Norman's.
Yeah, look at Jack's outfit, though. Like, what were people thinking back then?
No, that's Greg Norman right
there. Oh, is that Greg Norman? Sorry, that looks
like
Jack.
That's the shark.
Like, what's he thinking? Light blue pants? Dark, I mean, what,
it
what's
looks
going
like
on?
He stepped out of the Brady Bunch house.
He did.
Carol, I'm going to go golf.
It is amazing how much golf attire has improved over the years. Although, I think there would be a poll question of which era of golf clothing was the worst. Like, way back in the day like this, or like early Tiger Woods when everybody, it was like the baggy era of the NBA when you had the golf polos going well past the elbow and the baggy pants. Like,
triple
what era
pleats.
Was. Yeah. Like, that's a good poll question.
Well, but what would throw them more off if right now in this Masters with Greg Norman, bringing a Ricky Fowler onto the court with his orange outfit or a tiger baggy shirt outfit? Which one would make them go, what the hell are you wearing more?
That's a really good question.
I think it'd be Ricky. As stupid as the baggy era was.
It's an all orange.
Ricky can, back in this era, Ricky would be offensive to people. What are you wearing?
You could do that too in the NBA. It's a very similar question of like 1980s short shorts where you can see John Stockton's balls, or like 2001 Washington Wizards when their shorts go down to their socks. You know what I mean? Like that, like what's the worst look?
When I'm a lot older.
Parachute pants or balls? Which one do you go with?
I'm going to tell my daughters easily the worst time of my life was when I also thought the baggy clothes era was great.
You were young enough. You were into that phase. No
God,
doubt.
It was bad.
Let's see. After following up, you were talking about how weed sales are way up. Well, the liquor sales, OLCC is predicting a 17% increase. And that is also taking into account bars and restaurants aren't ordering liquor right now. Mm. This is all us at home loading up, trying to stay sane throughout this time. So 17% increase that they are predicting. Your final number, 249,000. 249,000. Is it the combined amount of money in dollars Jack Nicklaus collected from his six Masters victories? So the six wins that he had, what was the combined purse?
What was the number again?
249,000.
Okay.
Or is it the distance in miles the moon was from the Earth, resulting in the pink or the super moon last night? The closest the moon gets to the Earth.
Did you look at the moon?
Hell yeah. Super moon, bro.
Science man is going to get really upset by this statement. No clue at all what the distance of the moon to Earth is. I'm going to say this is a story.
I'm going to go, damn it. I wanted to answer story too, but I'll go stat because I'm going to avoid my inclination. I'm doing the opposite of what I would have done because that sounds like he should have won more money than that.
Wow, damn it. Now,
but I'm going
to
go stat.
Is it too late to change?
Yeah. It's a stat.
As soon as he said it, my inclination was, it's got to be more than that, right?
$249,000 total. The first three times he won it, the winner's check was only $20,000 apiece.
God, that's amazing.
See, for me, it wasn't that the number was too small. I thought 70s, 80s, kind of about right.
He won it six times, though.
Yeah. This one that they're re-showing in 86, he actually got paid $144,000.
Jeez.
That's so an amazing jump.
In the first five victories, it was only a combined $105,000 that he
That's
made.
An amazing jump.
But no, the Earth as or the Moon as close as it gets to the Earth last night for the supermoon, 221,773 miles away from the Earth, and so the scientists say it looks roughly 12% bigger than it normally does in the night sky.
That's super what she
moon,
said.
Hey-o.
Makes you horny too.
The supermoon does.
Supermoon and full moons make you hornier.
Get you going a little bit.
That's a fact, Jack.
It's a fact. Put that in your pipe.
Anytime you see a full moon, you pounce on your old lady.
Somebody said Payne Stewart crush a fashion scene. Yeah, that's Payne Stewart was different.
Well, he wore the knickers.
That's
but
different.
He also had a licensing deal with the NFL. He would wear NFL license coordinated stuff.
Payne Stewart did? I didn't know that story, really.
Yeah. Go back and look. He'll see Chicago Bears get up or whatever.
Another one, too. This is a great one from a P1. How about the White Sox shorts experiment?
The 70s? Yeah, with the big wide lapels.
What were they thinking,
man? The Chet Lemon days of White Sox.
Like, who comes up with that idea of thinking it's smart? Let's have a Major League Baseball team wear shorts.
Well, that was in the era. What was that guy's name? Bill Veeck, I think, was the guy. Because he also did Disco Demolition Night that got out of control and all sorts of stuff like that.
I mean, we also just brought back sleeve jerseys in the NBA.
Yeah, I would label shorts, though, in baseball far worse than sleeve jerseys.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue that.
You're wearing shorts. It's baseball.
But guys that pulled up their pants, it's basically the same thing.
But they got socks to cover it, though. You're not seeing bare knees. This is like the way we used to treat swimsuits in the 1920s. I don't want to see any bare leg down there. Okay? You pull those things down.
They basically look like us at our softball games.
Right.
Gym shorts.
They're a major league team, dude. We're like rocking a t-shirt and a pair of shorts and some high socks. Come on. What are you thinking? All right, there you go. Standard story every Wednesday at 2:15. I wanted to give a quick shout-out before we go. A couple other things to get to coming up in a moment. Where did this go? God darn it, I got to find this. Hold on. Okay, hold on. I'll find it during the break. We had somebody with the local company shout-out that I wanted to give on the other side. So I'll do that coming up next. We lost a legend, also a TV reboot that does it do it for you. We'll get to those coming up next, but... I found it during the commercial break. Welcome back in 2:32. If you ever want to do something like this too, just hit us up on the fan text line 55305. We're trying to help everybody in the area as much as we can doing this dumb little radio show. Somebody texted in, "Hey fellas, Sam's Hardwood Floors is still open and running. Trying to put the word out for any people who may be out of work and need a paycheck coming in. We're a small local business in Beaverton, ran by my wife and myself."
Are they saying they're hiring?
They're hiring. Go to their Facebook page if you're looking for a job right now. Sam's Hardwood Floors, it's just local company in Beaverton. They're still running, still going strong, and apparently looking to hire right now. So he said go check out their Facebook page. So I wanted to give them a shout-out.
Well, good for you, Sam. That's
really cool.
That's awesome. Not a lot of small businesses are able to say that right now, so that's cool.
Yeah, so there you go. Shout-out for a good local company out there in Beaverton. Were you guys big John Prine fans? You listen to much John Prine? No. I know you guys aren't country fans. I don't know if that moved the needle at all for you.
I have no idea who
R.I.P.
he is.
No idea who he is, really. No. Wow.
But I couldn't have picked that name out of a hat
if
you asked me to and you showed me the names to pick out.
He's more of an he's flown under the radar, I think, over the years as a country musician. But there's a lot of great, like, he is considered one of the greatest songwriters that's ever existed in music. Like, people like Bob Dylan and Bruce Springsteen, they've all credited him for being, like, an inspirational force to them when it comes to writing songs. And as a country fan, I always love John Prine because I feel like every genre of music, and country especially, has like the negative connotations about it, like the cliche country, and my dog died and my horse broke down, you know, that kind of stuff, right? And I was like, oh, I don't like country music because it's all stupid hillbilly stuff. But the beauty of country music to me has always been the storytelling form of it, and when people can kind of, I don't know, show their souls, if you will, to a certain extent, write about the American tradition. And there's not many that have done it better than John Prine. So if you're looking for something to listen to tonight, like All the Best was one of my favorites. I love Paradise is a great song. Sam Stone is a great song from the early 70s. So John Prine passed away. So country music fans, it's been a rough go in music, man. You had Kenny Rogers, Bill Withers, John Prine.
So was there one before that?
Did we miss another one too?
Ellis Marsalis.
That's right, Ellis Marsalis, jazz musician.
Boy, musicians.
We're having a rough go. And it was, he did pass away from complications of coronavirus as well. His
John Prine did?
He did. His wife caught it, and she apparently has healed or recovered, I guess, since then.
I was going to say, all of them had not perished from that until you said John Prine did.
Yeah, so that was a sad one. So go listen to some John Prine, man. He's a great, great songwriter. He had a lot of decades of great music and beloved in the country music genre. Let's get to this. We are in the era of television of reboots. We have another one. Does it pique your interest? Now, you are a subscriber of this, so you could technically watch. Disney Plus is making a reboot of Doogie Howser.
No.
No.
Okay. Way the hell out. They recreated the show already.
Did they already recreate Doogie Howser before?
It wasn't called Doogie Howser, but it was like Young Doctor or something. I saw it during football season last year on CBS.
Oh, is it the one where the kid has...
He's like legit a 10-year-old doctor. It's the same damn thing.
It was a similar theme.
Yeah, I'm not interested. In fact, hot take, Doogie Howser sucked.
Well, see, I never really watched any Doogie Howser. I don't have a take on Doogie Howser.
It always started with him on his little computer. And I'm always like, oh, yeah, people are listening to a 12-year-old.
How dare you bash Neil Patrick Harris?
Neil Patrick Harris is supremely talented, and he has showcased his talents in movies and TV. The show Doogie Howser, no.
Yeah.
No. We used to have to watch it at daycare. I'm out.
No. Stop.
Right out on that.
Stop.
Why is this the trend that everybody goes with? Is it that hard to come up with new? No, like just the reboot thing.
Yeah,
like, is it that hard to come up with new TV show ideas?
Well, apparently.
Because this one, like if you pitched the original Doogie Howser, it was probably dumb back in the day, but it ended up being a popular show. Like, how about a kid and he's a doctor? All right.
Well, when you go and you look back at shows, you've got to... If you're looking for a reboot, what was it that made that show? Is it simply was it the actors? Was it the writing? What can you replicate to?
Doogie Howser was like 3 or 4 seasons.
Wasn't that long?
Can we not act like it was something it wasn't?
Yeah, I see. And again, I can't speak to it. I never watched Doogie Howser. What years was it on TV from?
89 to 93.
89 to 93.
And I remember the later years because... obviously a lot younger, but sure. I used to have to watch him at daycare.
So apparently the new project they're working with, it's going to be a teenage girl as the center. Doogie Kalosha, MD or something like that. Kealoha. I don't know what the last name is. Comes from How I Met Your Mother and Fresh Off the Boat veteran Courtney Kang. Disney owned 20th Century Fox TV produced the original series, and where Kang is an overall deal is the studio where it's going to be. So it's going to be on Disney Plus. So if you're into Doogie Howser, there you go. Some good news for you.
What if they recreated the Wonder Years?
So what era would that now be? So when the Wonder Years came out in the late 80s, early 90s, if I'm not mistaken.
88 to 93. Another show not on as long as you thought it was.
Which that's one of those two, by the way, that if you want to feel old, it blows me away. So when the Wonder Years was on, they were featuring what, mid-60s, right, was the era?
Mid to late 60s, maybe early 70s by the end.
So they went in like 20 or so years previous was when the era that it was supposed to be placed in.
Wasn't Kennedy and the Vietnam War pretty prominent?
Vietnam was going on.
Yeah, late 60s.
Late 60s, early 70s. So if you did that now, somebody had this on Twitter the other day and it just blows my mind. If you did that now, that would be a show based in 2000.
Oh, yeah, you're right, because it was only 20 plus years. Wow.
So if you redid the Wonder Years in that format where you went 20-ish years previous, you're doing a show circa late 90s, early 2000s.
That would be weird for us. Y2K is a storyline.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Like that made me, that I don't know why, but that hit really hard at home. Like, wait, what?
Would
that even be compelling of a, you know, because that show I thought
was...
But
if you called it the Wonder Years and really tried to do the same character names, but you changed the timeline.
You just change it to a late 90s show.
I don't want to do that.
Of what kids went through in the late 90s and early 2000s.
Well, it is remarkable that movies deal with this all the time, too. Like, we're remaking so much, mm-hmm. and this isn't to say that making TV shows or movies are easy, but just the lack of creativity is what's kind of startling about the remake. Like you guys couldn't sit in a room and come up with your own thing or hire some writers to come up with their own thing or use somebody's pitch. You just thought in a room collectively, let's recreate Doogie Howser and let's make Doogie a girl.
Right. Let's change. Yeah. Twist it up just ever so slightly.
Like,
So it's no longer a boy teenage doctor. It's now a girl teenage doctor.
I don't know.
Put a slight little twist on it, and let's redo that show.
They did this with Boy Meets World, but they made Girl Meets World, and it failed.
Yeah, it did fail. Somebody said they tried that with Wonder Years 2.0. It was called Freaks and Geeks. It was spectacular and way ahead of its time.
One season, yeah.
I didn't watch Freaks and Geeks.
I watched half of Freaks and Geeks because it was on Netflix. I think it was Netflix has it still. And I never watched it live, but everybody raved about it. So I went back and I watched about half season. It was ahead of its time. I think it came out at the wrong moment, but pretty serious storyline stuff, you know, dealing with teenage angst and all that. And
yeah.
I just don't know if it ever clicked of when it came out, but a lot of huge actors in that show.
Somebody said they recreated Wonder Years. It was called Malcolm in the Middle. Would you put Malcolm in the Middle and Wonder Years in the same category?
No, I wouldn't at all.
That was far more a comedy.
Malcolm in the Middle was...
Wonder Years actually touched on some serious issues.
Well, yeah, it's romance, father-son relationships, brother relationship. Like, it really wasn't
the Vietnam
as funny.
War and doesn't the brother or like the boyfriend or the sister's husband, I think, goes to the war, comes back from there, was something like that ties into people.
It always felt like it was far more dramatic than comedic in Wonder Years.
Yeah.
You could do that, especially if you stage it late 90s and then you have 9/11
going on.
That sort of thing.
Yeah, that would be pretty crazy.
And then I wonder if they'd want to tie, if it would be a totally new cast, separate sort of thing, or do you get Fred Savage now to be the voice?
Dad, yeah. Is Fred Savage still hanging around? The cool thing about Wonder Years was, and it was, I didn't watch it when it was live on the air. I was too young to watch it live, but I watched it as I got older because they would always rerun it on like Nick at Night and that kind of stuff. And I love watching it with my dad, but it was one of those great shows. And it was, I guess the Wonder Years argument for now would be the same thing of, now it wasn't his childhood because my dad was born in 1950. So he was, you know. He was 20 or so by the time the era of the show was in existence.
He knew what was going on.
Right,
he
knew what was going on, but he wasn't a middle school kid in the late 60s, right? He was graduating from high school and going to college, but it was still like him reminiscing about the time of what it was like in that era, and then me relating to a kid from a different era going through similar things was fun. So that would be the tie-in, I think, to do it now. It'd be fun, like, if they came out with that now, would your daughters enjoy something like that of watching a kid grow up in the late 90s, early 2000s, which would be not necessarily the same era, but similar to where your childhood was?
Maybe.
Right? You're 12, you know, in that range of 13, you're going through the middle school, getting to high school, graduating high school, that kind of era.
Maybe my daughter, my oldest would be, because she watched The Office. And like, obviously,
she's
some
getting
things,
to that age where she can appreciate that kind of stuff.
I can watch some things with her, and there's some things, obviously, we fast forward past, but she largely doesn't understand the sexual innuendos of some of these shows.
Right. It's too young for that.
She's kind of starting to get to that age where she'll like, I don't even know if this makes me sound like a bad parent, but I really don't really care. But she watched a lot of Friends episodes.
Oh, is that bad? Can kids not watch Friends?
Well, no, it's not. I'm not one of those like it's bad because there's sex. It's more just like there were some episodes where it'd be far more prevalent than others. So it'd be like, hey, let's skip over this episode of Ross boinking three different ladies.
Let's not go through that.
Let's not. I don't want to answer these questions today.
Dad?
Yeah.
What's going on there, Dad?
Yeah.
So there, I don't know. I saw that earlier, and I wondered if Doogie Howser resonated with anybody. They're rebooting it on Disney Plus. That is the trend now.
I think more people remember the name.
You remember the name.
Then they do the show being good.
When you remember Neil Patrick Harris, because he turned into he made a career for himself. Him and Harold Kumar is still one of my favorite just random roles of him playing himself.
I argue that saved his, that kind of revitalized his career was him going on that movie and making fun of himself.
Being Neil Patrick Harris, right? Being Doogie Howser. Somebody said, hot take, as a kid, I watched Saint Elsewhere, later watched House, now think all hospital shows are not worth watching. Medical Center, ER, the stuff I mentioned.
I used to watch ER a little bit with my mom.
I'm not into medical shows. That's just never been my...
Well, I can't do blood, but it was more just the storylines. Like ER was always go. You know, it's ER, so...
You're constantly moving.
They'd have dialogue and then it'd break right. Hey, he's dying of a heart attack!
Right. The fiance watches Grey's Anatomy, and I can't... That's one I just can't do.
Oh, that show still goes on?
It's still on the... Did you know that? It's still on the air?
Grey's Anatomy and Modern Family. Who'd have known?
Grey's Anatomy is like on season 3,462.
What it's show should have been forever. Canceled that's still going?
I mean, I would argue Grey's Anatomy, but there's probably a few of them out there.
Like Survivor? Would you put Survivor in that category?
Yeah, why is Survivor still on the air? Can we not do that anymore? Okay, we'll wrap up the show with our favorite Blazer of all time. The LaMarcus Aldridge or CJ McCollum, that battle is coming down to the wire, and some folks might end up being upset. So go vote. You got a couple more minutes to do it at Dirt and Sprague and at 1080 The Fan. We'll close up there on The Fan.
I don't give a damn what anyone thinks.
That's a great question. At the Fan text line. So if you remember the Wonder Years intro song was so famous.
What?
Where'd you do?
Yeah.
Right? Everybody remembers the intro song.
It's one of our rejoiners.
It is. Of course it is. What would the intro song be for a late 90s Wonder Years reboot?
Y'all gonna make me lose my mind up in here, up in here. I think you gotta go rap.
You go rap for late 90s? Is that the route you would go?
Wouldn't you say rap kind of took over in the late 90s?
So let's say, what year do we want to start?
Or Stacey's mom.
1998, you want to say that be the starting year?
Sure.
You want to guess what the number one song was in 1998? I'm gonna Google it.
Number one song in 1998. Is it gonna be like The Offspring or... what was that random group? They had the one huge song, and it was ridiculous. How did that go? I'm blanking on this one.
I'm blanking on that one, too.
You know what I'm talking about?
I think so.
Well, the question is, where are you going to set this? Are you going to be in a major metropolitan city? Or are you going to kind of be...
Where were they based in Wonder Years? I don't remember.
That's what I don't remember. Were they somewhere in the Midwest?
I don't know why I think Indiana, but I'm probably wrong.
Number one song in 1998 was Too Close by Next. The number two song was The Boy Is Mine by Brandy and Monica. The number three song in 1998 was You're Still the One by Shania Twain.
Yeah, You're Still the One.
And Truly, Madly, Deeply by Savage Garden was number four.
Oh, God.
Those are your top four songs from 1998. Number five, Leanne Rimes, How Do I Live?
What is that song I'm thinking of?
Casey and JoJo's up there.
It was the Discovery Channel. Do it how they do it on the Discovery Channel.
What
year did that song come out?
God, what? That is right around in there.
It was like an absurd song. It made no sense.
What is the name of that song? 55305.
It was hugely popular.
Do it like that. That's going to drive me nuts now.
Like we
the Bloodhound Gang.
The Bloodhound Gang.
That was the. Yes. What was the name of the song?
Yeah.
That's actually not a bad idea. I mean, it's no Joe Cocker, a little help from my friends, but.
Yeah, I think you go something like that.
The Bad Touch. Sex, baby, sex, baby. We should put that as a rejoiner. I forgot about that song. I might dump that one into the system.
The only reason I remember is because we used to have a
Bloodhound Gang.
We had a friend whose parent, every time they heard that song, they got offended and turned it off.
Dude, that was a big deal. Yeah, when that song initially came out, let me see what year that came out.
The Bloodhound Gang. I don't think they made anything after that.
Not that I know of. That was in 1999.
Sheesh.
1999 was when that thing came out. That's a great blast from the past. I totally forgot about that song.
You'd have to go kind of a generic TRL hit, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you'd want to go like a number one song. I don't know if you'd want to go rap or like a slow to Casey and JoJo slow jam.
No.
The number one songs from that era, are like in terms of pop kind of hits, were like boy bands and Britney Spears.
Unfortunately, yes.
Right, that was that era of music.
That's how we're going to be remembered during that time.
Right, that's all we got going for us, man. What's my age again? Blink 182?
That's a good one.
That's not bad. That's a pretty...
What's my age again? Yeah, you know what? That's actually probably the choice.
Then. Yeah, that's actually a good one right there.
And then one of them became a UFO conspiracy theorist.
Yeah. Sugar Ray, Fly, ooh. Smash Mouth.
Smash Mouth. Limp Bizkit. Let's go.
Do it for the... Okay. All right, let's update this one. So we're rolling out the favorite Blazer of all time bracket slowly but surely. Will has told us it'll be up on the website. Still waiting, Will. What are you doing in your quarantine? So hopefully it'll be up soon. You guys can go fill these out. We started. Now, three of these were blowouts. We knew they were going to be blowouts. I'll give you the final percentages just of where they're at right now here at the end of the show. Maurice Lucas over Dave Twardzik. This is the 1-8 matchup in the OG region. 96.8 to 3.2%.
Yeah, no brainer there.
96.8% for Maurice Lucas. It'll be interesting to see where that one goes. But we'll keep mixing up all their different regions every single day. We'll do four different matchups. Next one up, this is in the Jailblazer region. Arvydas Sabonis versus Bonzi Wells, the 2-7 matchup. Arvydas Sabonis, 94.8% to Bonzi Wells, 5.2%. So he didn't quite get to Maurice Lucas numbers, but a bloodbath against Bonzi Wells.
I think if you did that same matchup in a packed Moda Center during halftime, he said, everybody just pick right now of the 19-plus thousand people voting, I think you would get a higher percentage in the arena than you would on our poll question.
For Bonzi Wells?
No, for Sabas. I think that would be almost 100%.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, just
it
going against
Sabas.
It did
not end well,
man,
for Bonzi.
It did not, when you flip the double bird. But again, I said this earlier. I'm trying to view the... But that did happen when he was in a Blazer uniform, so it doesn't apply here.
But Sabas never had a moment where it lingered or you wondered, should I like this guy anymore?
No, he just drank a lot of vodka and didn't speak very good English, you know? Next one up, not quite as big of a blowout, but another blowout nonetheless. Cliff Robinson versus Jim Paxson. This is in the Glory Days region. Cliff Robinson, 86.6% of the vote to 13.4% of the vote. Moving on. So far, if you're keeping track at home, it's Maurice Lucas, Arvydas Sabonis, and Cliff Robinson advancing. This was the one that got people all fired up today. And I wonder how much this says about the player involved. This is in the modern era region. LaMarcus Aldridge versus CJ McCollum, your 4 versus 5 matchup. About 400 votes on this thing. 54.3% for LaMarcus Aldridge, 45.7% for CJ McCollum. LaMarcus beats out CJ.
It is what it is.
A lot of people not happy about that because of the way LaMarcus left. There was also somebody that called him soft earlier, and we read that, and somebody said, soft? Do you watch CJ play defense?
Well, no. The answer to that is no.
No, I don't, because he doesn't play defense, but I enjoyed that one. So hopefully that'll be up on the website. Once it is and we get word from Will, we'll tweet it out so you guys can go follow along on that. It's a 32-player bracket. All the household names are in there. We had the play-in games yesterday and then the matchups today.
Go to Sirius. You should be able to find the Tom Brady. They're letting people stream for free.
Yeah,
I want you to listen
about
to that
tomorrow.
Brady interview.
I held it off so we can talk about it for tomorrow's show.
Yeah.
He was on Howard Stern today.
I don't think I want to do interviews anymore.
It's that good. How long is it?
It's about I think it's like 45 minutes to an hour.
45 minutes to an hour? That's not bad.
Better than 10 minutes.
Yeah, you can get to the bottom of a lot of issues.
Shocking. Conversations are better when they're longer than 10 minutes.
Yeah, so we'll get to that tomorrow. He doesn't do interviews like that very often. He was on with Howard Stern, who's the best interview in the business. There you go. If you miss any of it, Les Schwab Tires podcast, TannyToTheFan.com is where you can find it. Go enjoy some sunshine. Stay safe, everybody. Hope you're all doing okay. We will talk to you tomorrow at noon. Number one's next, listening to 1080 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.